Hallelujah. 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 All glory and all honor to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Y'all be seated. The Lord said to his disciples, whatsoever things you ask of me, of my Father, in my name, I will do them unto you. Whatsoever things you ask my Father in my name, I will do them unto you. And I got to thinking about that term, whatsoever. And whatsoever began to blow my mind. Because the more I thought on it, and the more I dwelt with it, the more I realized that there is no end to whatsoever. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's like asking, where's the end of infinity? You look at the word infinity. And then you look at another word that describes our God as an infinite God. Where does that leave him off? Where does God start and where does he end? Well, somebody might say, well, he starts over here and ends over there. And I might say, really? Well, what if he starts over here? Well, let's say he starts over here and ends there. We get married and we put on a ring. And the ring is a circle. And the circle goes round. Where does it start? Where does it stop? It symbolizes eternal love. There's a good word. Eternal. How long is eternal? Today, eternal could mean a year, a week, or as long as we feel like it. But the word, regardless of what people say it means, still means eternally. And eternity, and eternally, means there's no end to it. It goes on and on and on. And I was wondering one day, why does the earth revolve around the sun? And you've got all your normal scientific answers. If it didn't revolve around the sun, it'd fly off in space. The gravitational pull of the sun to the earth is balanced so that the earth neither falls into the sun nor flies off into space. If that balance were mixed up the least little bit, we'd be in trouble. It would either get hot real quick or cold real quick. Amen. But it's balanced. God has it balanced. And it goes around the sun. And then I got to wondering, why does the sun make a circuit around the universe? And where does the universe go? Where does the universe go? The Bible says it's on its course. And it makes a circle. All right. So I have a ring. And my ring is a circle. It has no beginning. It has no end. And that reminds me of a scripture. Jesus said, I am the beginning and I am the end. And again, I am alive and will be alive forevermore, and was dead. And again, Melchizedek, who had no beginning and no end. Why did he have no beginning and no end? Because he was the beginning and the end. And all of a sudden, my ring begins to mean more to me than just a gold band on my finger that says I'm married. It means that I made a promise. It means I made a promise. And the promise was returned. And when that ring stops being circular is when that promise ends. Amen. That's what it's supposed to mean. Then I began to look and I said, all right, if the sun goes around the universe and the universe goes around what? And then I remembered, Jesus is the center that holdeth all things together. That everything, period. I can't say everything in our world. I can't say everything in the galaxy. I can't say everything in the universe. But everything revolves around Jesus. He is the center. He is the beginning. And He is the end. He is all things. And you cannot measure God. Who can measure His beginning, or who can measure His end? Or who shall build a roof that should cover His head, or a footstool that He would put His feet upon? For our God filleth all things. All things. And then I began to start understanding a little better what Jesus meant when He said, whatsoever. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do unto you. Oh, that sounds so good. That sounds so good. Oh, I could get excited over that. Lord, give me 3 Cadillacs and a popsicle. Right now, right there. Well, you'd freak out if you did too, wouldn't you? I would too. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. I'd freak out because I don't believe he'd pop 3 Cadillacs and a popsicle down right there. And neither do you. You don't believe it, and I don't believe it. Isn't that right, Ralph? If you believed it, you'd been over there all long time ago, and you'd been praying Lincolns. He'd have said, Lord, let me go out to my junkyard and let it rain Lincolns down upon me. And then, knowing you, God would say, all right. Lord, can you lift just this one off? If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Truth of the matter is, you don't believe He'd do it. I don't believe He'd do it either. And you know why you don't believe He'd do it? Because of the part that comes just before. That little verse where Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's the one that gets us, you see. Why should He do it for me? Why should God answer my prayers? Oh, I could see Him answering Brother so-and-so's prayers over here. He's such a gentle, holy man. And I can see Him answering Sister so-and-so's prayer. She's such a devout believer. But I really, really can't see God answering my prayers because I'm such a lowlife. I'm such a scumbag. I'm so terrible. I mean, God has to wear a clothespin on His nose when He comes around me. I stink so bad. Anybody say amen? I love Ralph. Ralph, say amen to anything. Say amen. Praise God. Anyway, I don't think I stink that much. But that's what holds us back when we compare ourselves to the Word. And even those who do not know the Word have something inside that says, this is right and this is wrong. And everyone whom God calls knows they're wrong. But praise be to God, I found another secret. I found the answer to that verse that says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And it's very simple, because the commandments are two. To prefer God before yourself and everyone else. And then put others before yourself. If you follow those two commandments, you have kept the entire law of God. If you love me, prefer me before yourself and all others. And prefer others over yourself. And you know, that's hard sometimes. It's hard to go out there sometimes and prefer others before yourself. But you know God is good. He says, I'll let you practice a little bit. Practice on one another. And if you practice on one another, pretty soon it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit with one another, you can learn to do it with others also. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this getting through to you? And you know what? When you start learning how to do that, when you start learning how to prefer God before yourself, and you start learning to prefer others before yourself, pretty soon you begin to believe that God will move as He says He will. Because it's only fair. And if God is anything, He is fair. He is a fair God. And when Jesus Christ said, if you ask anything whatsoever, you ask the Father in my name, it shall be given you. It shall be done unto you. Whatsoever. Whatsoever you can think, whatsoever you can imagine, whatsoever thing you can desire, whatsoever thing you could hope, He will do. If you can learn to do those two little things, put God before yourself and everyone else, and put everyone else before yourself also. This is the key. And when you do these things, something switches inside you. Something switches because you see what happens. Now watch this. The moon goes around the earth. And it's balanced. And the earth goes around the sun. And they're balanced. And both the sun and the moon revolve around the earth and the moon revolve around the sun. If the sun were Jesus and the earth were you, then everything else would revolve, other than Jesus, would revolve around you. Amen? But the moon was hung in the sky to reveal the glory of the sun. The moon was hung in the heaven to reveal the glory of the sun at nighttime. So that when the sun is not there, you have the moon to testify of the sun. Is anybody hearing my words? You have the moon to testify of the sun. So the earth sees the sun in the daylight. But at the night, it knows the sun will return because it has the moon to testify. The church has misread God's word. And Christians have misunderstood and his word, because what Christians seek to do, what the world, let me back up, what the world seeks to do is put itself where the sun is. Christians begrudgingly put themselves where the earth is. But God says, put yourself where the moon is. Huh? Put yourself where the moon is. That way the glory of God can shine on the earth. But when the earth cannot see the glory, you will reflect the glory of God, that the earth may know He is there. Ooh, hallelujah. I could get excited over that. That's good stuff. We love the Lord. Say praise God. But that, I was standing out here praying, and I looking up and I seeing that moon and just couldn't get my eyes off of it. I said, Lord, isn't that a strange moon? Why am I looking at that? And I put it out of my mind, and I continued to pray and wander around trying to figure out what I'm going to preach tonight. And all I could do is think of that scripture verse and the moon. And all of a sudden I see that what we are to do is to reflect the glory of the Lord so that others that we travel around will know that Jesus is Lord and He will return. You cannot reflect the light of Jesus Christ if you're putting yourself first. You can't do it. You know, times people say to me, they say things that embarrass me. Now, sometimes I don't mind being embarrassed a little bit. There's good embarrassment and bad embarrassment. You know what I mean? There's bad embarrassment, like walking out of church and your pants fall down. That's bad embarrassment. That's not good. You see, that would be very bad. That's why Brother Warren wears suspenders. We love the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. And then there's good embarrassment, and that is the embarrassment that comes when somebody compliments you, or they say something good about you, and you're embarrassed because you don't believe it about yourself. You like hearing it. You enjoy hearing it. You say, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Steve doesn't know what I'm talking about. He gets so much compliments and he just loves it, right? Yeah. We'll fix you. And everybody said, amen. That embarrassment that comes when people say good things about you, because in your heart you know you don't live up to those things. Some of you may not have that problem, but I do. And one of the things that people constantly say to me, people that know me, say that I have great amount of patience and all. I consider myself very impatient. I look at myself as being very impatient and not having near enough patience. Yet, I'm constantly told that I'm patient, and I enjoy that. I praise God for that. It embarrasses me. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord has shown me that there are many times when I'd like to say and do things that would please me, that I don't do it, because it would effectively shut out the light of Christ to the person involved. And I realized something else, that when people are of a bad attitude and they come to you, think about it. they're in darkness. Amen? What was it John the Baptist said about, or John said about Jesus? He says, the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. The world out here can see the light of day and they walk. But when the light is taken out, they stumble in the night, unless there be a light to guide them. And the Lord showed me one day that when people are in a bad attitude, in a bad mood, they're in darkness. And they're stumbling and running you over. But if you reveal the light of Christ and put them before yourself and not venture anger and not seek your will over them, but be as the moon. Be as the moon and position yourself to shine the glory of God off on those people. And you watch their attitudes change. They still won't comprehend it, but the light will be there to guide them. So that when the right time comes, you can say, Jesus loves you. Amen, amen. In Lowell, Massachusetts, I practiced that. Massachusetts. What do you call people who live in Massachusetts? Massitudes. Massitudes. Because, at least in Lowell. Because in Lowell, everywhere you go, people have massive attitudes. So Massachusetts, Massitudes. And you walk into a... I thought Vermont was bad. I thought Vermont was bad when you go in a restaurant and waitresses act like you're bugging them. But you go in restaurants down in Massachusetts, there may be three people in a restaurant. And I've seen it. Bill, you've seen it. Three people in a restaurant and waitress going around with a scowl on her face, arguing and complaining and griping because it's so busy. And my God, I don't know what she'd do if she ever had to wait on more than one table, because there were two other waitresses waiting on the other two customers. And attitudes and attitudes. And I decided, and of course immediately, I want to get an attitude. Immediately, I want to get an attitude, you know, and say something very constructive and kind and considerate and nice. Something along the lines of, well, if you weren't such a witch and you were a decent waitress, it wouldn't bother you that there are three customers in this place. That's the kind of attitude I want to come off with, you see. And I've got to thinking about it. Is what happens is when you live with a bunch of attitudes, you become an attitude. And these massitudes living with one another just have massituded themselves all over the Massachusetts borders. And they're spilling out and going everywhere and taking their massitudes with them. But the Lord has shown me that if I go in there and meet their attitude with patience and love and peace and shine that light, that glory of Jesus Christ on them, guess what's going to happen? It's going to break those attitudes. Break those attitudes. And if you look at it, you can see it at home. You can see it around the house. Wives, you can see it. Husband come home, he's happy. Da, da, da. Hallelujah, I'm just so happy. Just made a sale. Da, 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 da. And the wife be sitting there. Hey, wife, da, 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 da. Hi, hon. How you doing? Fine. Pretty soon he's just walking around. He's got an attitude. Now you got two people with an attitude. You think they come from Massachusetts. Am I telling the truth, or is that the way it is? Huh? Or the wife. She can be in a real good mood. She can be just having a grand day. The baby didn't spit up all over her. The sink didn't overflow. Bill didn't come in and stop up the toilet. I mean, you know, everything's going great. And in comes the husband who had just had a little go round outside with somebody else. He comes in, rah, 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 and pretty soon, darkness descends like a cloud upon the house. And all that walk therein walk in cautious, wild, and danger. Amen. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Amen. That's the way it is. We used to tease Carrie. When Carrie'd catch an attitude, the light would literally dim, as if the power in the house was cut in half. I kid you not. I kid you not. People will hear this. You're taping this tonight? People will hear this tape and they will swear to God that I'm standing up here lying. But I am not lying. I have actually been in the room with that girl and watched her catch an attitude and it just seemed to physically grow dark.